Isn't it good to be here? And I tell you what, this is a precious place to be. I'm so glad you're here, and I'm thrilled to death to be here myself. And boy, we need God to meet with us. And don't ever take God for granted. It's a very easy thing to do, but it's a sin. And boy, we need to be a people that really seek after God. And boy, I tell you what, I had almost a spiritual meltdown this morning. I prayed and prayed and prayed about what God wanted to preach tonight. And so pastor gets up here and he says, we're going to go to Colossians chapter 1. And that's exactly where we're going tonight. And I said, wow, I know God wanted this message, but I didn't know he was going to give it to pastor. You know, and praise the Lord, he took on right after where I'm going to end up. And so I'm so thankful for that. But it is so good to be here. Do you love God's word? Amen. It's a wonderful blessing. How many are hot? Pastor did this the other day. It's hot. You ought to come on up here if you think it's hot down there. I don't know whether the air's not working or what. But I want us to go to Colossians chapter 1 and begin reading in verse 9, if we could. I want to back up and deal with some of the verses before this later, if God will let me. If you know, are able rather to stand, would you stand reverencing God's word? And I'd like to read down through verse 11. Colossians 1 and verse 9. The precious word of God says this: for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with a knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. I give this message a kind of an unusual title, and I'm going to call it a great need of prayer. This is a prayer that we just read of the apostle for the Christians, the believers at Colossae. I don't know how you feel about it, but the things that he talks about here, they don't just come with being saved. When you get saved, you're not automatically mature, right? You got a lot of growing to do. The Bible calls us babes in Christ when we first get saved. And my prayer tonight is that God would touch our hearts about our need to pray for ourselves or what we just read, and then our need to pray for one another. We love one another here, don't we? We do. We care about one another and one another's needs, and most definitely one another's spiritual needs. But I think with all my heart we fall short oftentimes in praying for each other. Take some time to do that, but we need to understand this. It's a glorious thing that the Apostle Paul prays without ceasing for these new believers. It's a big thing. It's a humongous thing. And so let's pray and ask God to touch our hearts about this great need of prayer. Father, please help us. We're so needy in this area. And Father, I pray, Spirit of God, that you would open our hearts. You'd use this humble preacher to expound your word properly. And I pray, dear God, that you would work a work in my heart and the heart of everyone here, that we would understand our great need. Lord, there's three things that you talk about here that we need. Open our hearts to them. Lord, I believe every one of us need these things. If you would, Lord, please help us. Lord, I pray you'll shut off outside influences and just help us to listen to you. I pray you'll speak to us and touch our hearts. Father, if there's one here lost, I pray they'll come to know you. Please, Lord, help us. I pray for myself, Lord. Please give me liberty. You say that that needs to be said. Lord, I've studied, I've prayed, and you just take over. And we'll be careful to thank you and to praise you. It's in your wonderful name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Before we preach, we have to give these folks back here all the scriptures that we're going to give. And that always makes me so nervous because I don't know whether I'm going to use half of them. I don't know whether I'm going to add to them. But maybe they do a better job than I could trying to keep up. But this is a precious passage of scripture. The apostle deals basically the same way with the church of Ephesus in chapter 1, verse 15 through 20. So this is not just a passing thing that he's talking about. It's a very serious thing, and it's a very needful thing. So as I've already commented, if we could come to grips with this thing, that what we're looking at here, we've got to pray without ceasing for ourselves and for one another, that we would have what God wants us to have. God wants us to have every one of these things, these principles. We're going to talk about them. God doesn't keep his will a secret. He wants us to know his will. And he wants us, according to these verses, to be filled with his will. He wants us to have knowledge of his will and spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding is a biggie. He wants us to walk worthy of Christ. Could I ask you, as way of introduction, do you feel worthy to be born again? To be a child of God? To be heaven bound? And yet I just read you where we're to pray that we would walk worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but just reading this passage just humbles me. We need this. And then to possess his power, to be strengthened with all might. We're going to have the power of God to live his way. We're going to have the power of God to know patience and long suffering. And then he just puts a nail on it and says, with joyfulness. God is really speaking plain and very truthful here. And we can have this. And he wants us to have it. He wanted these believers to have it. And I read in my Bible, there's no respect of persons with him. He wants me to have it and you to have it. And so we need to understand this. So the first thing that he deals with here is this thing of being filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Let me tell you something. You can, if you've got any IQ, you can read the Bible and you can know what it says. And you can even debate the Bible and have absolutely no spiritual understanding. You will not be able in that state to rightly divide the word of truth. And we need to do that. We need this knowledge. We need this wisdom and spiritual understanding. And we need it about God and about his will. We need to know God. We need to know the way of God. We need to know the pleasure of God. We need to know the will of God. I bet you're no different than I am. I've argued with God about his will. But God is saying here that I need to pray for it. And you need to pray for me that I'll understand it and know it. And spiritually understand the will of God. Sometimes we think about faith as just to be a blind walk. Just to read it, trust God, and just go. God wants us to understand his will. God wants us to understand why he wants such and such. God wants us to understand why we're to come out from the world and be separate and touch not the unclean things. God wants you to understand that. The reason is, if you'll look at it and pray about it, he'll tell you it's going to hurt you. The things of the world are going to take from us and steal from us. That's what the devil does. Steal, kill, and destroy. So he wants us to have this spiritual understanding. He wants us to have wisdom about his will. And he wants us not to just to know his will. It's a wonderful thing to know the will of God. Have you ever labored about the will of God, to know the absolute perfect will of God for this situation that you're dealing with in your life? Sometimes we have to really pray to find out what he really wants us to be and to have and to do. Study to show, to find out what he says about what we're dealing with. He wants us to know. But he wants us not just to know, he wants to be filled with it. Absolutely filled with the knowledge and wisdom and spiritual understanding of his will. That's not that I'm going to serve God and be in his will in this area and in this area, but I want something different from God's will here and here, and then over here I'll do something for God and serve God according to his will. He wants us to be absolutely controlled and dominated and filled with his will. See, when I die, my will's supposed to die, right? When I die to self, my pleasure's supposed to die. I'm supposed to want to please him above all things, especially me. And the apostle here is praying for these believers that they will understand that this wonderful, wonderful, precious principle to study, to show ourselves approved unto God is a big thing. Most Christians don't know what that is. And shame on us if we don't know what the Word of God says. It's kind of terrible to have the absolute perfect rule book for life and be living our life and don't know what the rules are. You play basketball like that, you're going to lose every game. Huh? The other team's going to be at the foul line the whole game. But yet we sometimes don't know what God says. And God wants us to know. His will is comprised, his word is comprised of his will. It gives us his will. And the Holy Spirit can teach us and give a spiritual understanding in unique and individual needs. But it'll always be according to the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5 says this. Listen to this. You know this verse. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Our world is full of that. Things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Full of it. He says, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, what I think is just in me and it doesn't affect anybody else, but what you think really does affect you, and it'll show in your life what you think. Every thought even to the obedience of Christ. We're talking about the will of God. Every thought. I believe he's specific about this thing. I believe he means every word of this thing. He wants us to know his will. Well, I'm not sure. Time and time again in my life, my ministry, I've had people to tell me how God has blessed them, and it was not scriptural. And God does not do that. We've got to know this will. And we might have messed up in the past, but we can know his will now, and we cannot mess up again. You say, Brother Martin, you're talking about perfection. I'm talking about maturity. In John chapter 4 and verse 34, listen to what Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. God the Son's will was to please the Father. He proved that in the garden, didn't he, when he prayed, if this possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. He knew what was fixing to happen. He knew that he's fixing to die for you and for me. And he humbled himself and just wanted the right thing, the will of the Father, to finish his work. He came to die for you and I. He said this in John 20 and verse 21, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. As he was obedient, the Son of Man obedient, so too must we be obedient. Oh, it is so very important. 1 John 2:17 says this, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Everything here is temporal. The will of God and the word of God is eternal. And my life as a believer is eternal. Pastor said today, we're not going to die. Oh my. What are we talking about? We're talking about filled with a knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. All of it. All of it. Oh my. The psalmist in 143:10 says, let me, lead me rather, into the land of uprightness. You could say of holiness, of uprightness, wisdom, and spiritual understanding of the will of God will bring that to us. I looked up the definition of wisdom. It means that a person knows the first principles or basic principles of life. We're going to get those from God. Understanding means a person has the ability to apply these basic principles to everyday life, to the circumstances and the decisions of life. I'll tell you one thing, experience sometimes can really get us in a mess. Sometimes we've done something before and it worked out okay, and so that's what we're going to do again. And sometimes we've done something before and it didn't work out okay, but we're going to try it again. But if we know the will of God, if we understand it, Holy Spirit teaches us, we can apply it to our life, no matter what the circumstance or the condition is and the decision. So we need to pray. And we need to ask God for this. And we need to ask him in a big time. And we need to study. Pray and study. Pray and study for this purpose, to know the will of God and to understand the will of God. Oh my. Acts 20:32. I've got several verses for you. And now, brethren, I command you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. That's our place. That's the place we're after, to be among those that are sanctified. Romans 15:4 says, and whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for your learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures may have hope. We can't be anemic on the word of God. We're never going to know the will of God without the word of God. His scripture is proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. We've got to have it. Don't let the devil steal it. Don't let him steal it from us. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word of God that you may grow thereby. And after we grow a little, we don't need to forsake it. We just need to stay in it and stay in it and stay in it. You're never going to get to where you don't need the word of God. Simple. But this praying for this, it's pretty easy not to do it. It's pretty easy not to pray for one another. Apostle's got the right heart here. Proverbs deals with this. And Solomon's speaking to his son. But God is speaking to us in chapter 2. Verse 1 starts off like this. My son, and I want you to pay attention to these ifs. My son, if. It's up to you now whether you're going to know this will of God and wisdom and spiritual understanding of it. It's up to you. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear to wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. There's got to be a big heartfelt, I mean serious, serious thing on our part to seek the will of God and the spiritual understanding and wisdom of it. So we got to incline our ear to wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. I mean, this has got to be important to us. Verse 3 says this, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if you will, if you'll begin to beg God for knowledge, if you begin to beg God for understanding, if you begin to beg God to know his perfect will for your life, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasures, to know the will of God and the wisdom of God and spiritual understanding of the will of God, it's better than having a gold mine. It's better than looking for gold that could just make you absolutely wealthy. And God says, we got to seek it as if it were that important and that valuable. And it is. But sometimes we'll just let the things and the cares of this world just take the place of the will of God. It hurts us. If you will, then, if you will, yes, I will. He says, then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. But buddy, you're seeking him like hidden treasure. You're seeking him like his utmost important thing. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. You're going to have to get this knowledge of his will and understanding and spiritual understanding. You're going to have to get it from God. God will give it to you if you seek it. God will give it to you if you're begging him for it. Oh, it sounds like Proverbs 3 that we're not to lean on our own understanding, doesn't it? We got to get busy here and seek these things of God. Ephesians 1:17 said, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And God wants to do this. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But no passive seeking, no every now and then seeking. It's urgent that we know the will of God for our personal lives. And urgent that every one of us pray for the other that they would know this. I contend tonight, this is a great prayer need. A great prayer need. It's a great need that I pray for me about in you. And you, me, and one another. That you might be filled. That's total control. With a knowledge of his will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I say, wow. What a promise. That's the prayer. Man, what a prayer. If we don't have this, if we don't get this, we're going to continue to be deceived. We're going to continue to suffer loss. Our ministry, our personal ministry, by the way, you have one, whether you know it or not. our personal ministries are going to be null and void. They're not going to be with the power of God. And we're not going to bear the fruit that God wants us to bear for him. Because he has to give us that fruit in his power. We got to know this will. Have wisdom, spiritual understanding of his will. Then he says the next thing, that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing and being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I asked you a while ago if you felt it. You were worthy of the Lord saving your soul. You're not. But we can walk worthy of knowing him, of fellowship with him, of him being my Lord, of him giving me his will, and giving me, as we'll see in a minute, the power to do his will. Worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. If you were to say, Brother Martis, do you think that you please God in all pleasing, everything about you is pleasing God? I just humble myself down and bow my head and I say, absolutely not. But I want it. I want him to think about me like he thought about Job. Have you considered my servant Job, a faithful man to God? I have increased in this over time, and I'm sure you have. But as I read this, I understand if I'll ask with this sincerity and I'll ask with this urgency that I might walk worthy of the Lord. I might walk worthy as his servant. I might walk worthy as that one that's witnessing to the lost people the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. I might walk worthy, one that he would, in my case, allow me to preach on occasion. Oh, I can tell you that this is the greatest thing that God lets me do. You see, Brother Mark, there's 1,000 preachers better than you, and I'd say amen. But it's still yet the greatest thing that he lets me do. I covet it. I want to be worthy. I want to be worthy of what he's given me. I want to be worthy of the word of God that he's opened to me. I want to be worthy. I want to use it. I want to apply it. I want to live according to his will. I want to understand his will. And I want to be all pleasing to my precious Lord. And I need to ask him to help me. I need to ask him to show me how to please him. He's praying that we might walk worthy of the Lord, of my Lord. He's my vine. He's my everything. Without him, I can do nothing. Oh, that I would just submit in such a way, and I would study to make myself worthy to him to change me and make me and mold me, that I would be all pleasing and fruitful in every good work. I feel so sorry for people that are truly born again and they think all they need God is just about an hour every week or every month, and they come on Sunday worship service and that's it. They don't understand what he's praying for here. They don't understand the urgency of this. We can't get too much of God. Could we say to ourselves tonight that we are all pleasing to him? Could we say to ourselves tonight that we're being fruitful in every good work? What the Lord's command us to do, we're fruitful in it. We're obedient to it. Can we say with all our heart that we're constantly increasing in the knowledge of Christ? That's the study we talked about. You ought to know him better today than you did last week. Your fellowship ought to be sweeter to him today than it was last week. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Oh my goodness. Oh, could we understand what he's saying? Oh, could we get a hold of this? Oh. Listen to what Titus 2:7-8 says. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Now, he didn't say in some things, he said in all things. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, that's weight, seriousness, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is in, of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil to say of you. And he said, and let us consider one another in Hebrews 10:24, to provoke unto love and to good works. For you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, he's really showing us something that's so very powerful. To walk, we set our lives, our behavior, our conduct after Christ. Worthy to have the weight of, or to weigh as much as something else. Worthy, that's kind of different. To have the weight of, or to weigh as much as something else. We're talking about worthy of what? Christ. Who? Christ. When we look at this thing, it's very humbling. Our walk has to have the weight that the walk of Christ had. Christ is our pattern. Christ is our guide. We're not to look at one another and say, well, buddy, I'm better than they are. I can do better than they do at this thing or that thing. No, just measure up to Christ. Our walk has got to be like his walk. That's the worthy. Our conduct has to be like his conduct. Oh my. He was totally in the will of God. So as we walk worthy, this all just keeps flowing. That I have the weight of Christ. That I live as Christ. The apostle said to live as, I got it all mixed up now. To die is gain and to live is Christ. This life has to be in Christ. It's so important. Being fruitful in every good work. If we do it in his power, if we do it in his will, it will bear fruit. It may take some time, but we will bear fruit. And we'll bear more fruit. John 15, and we'll bear much fruit. Vine and a branch thing. Oh my goodness. James says, I'll show you my faith by my works. I want to be worthy, well-pleasing, fruitful, and every good work. That ought to be our prayer, our cry to God, our urgency as we pray that we would know these things. And then the next point, three things. He says, strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Strengthen with all might. We're going to be overcomers if we have his power. We're going to have patience if we have his power. We're going to be long-suffering if we have his power. Oh, it is so important that we understand this. It is so important. Don't these few verses just make Romans 12:2 just jump alive to us? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed you in your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I love that verse. So it's important that we understand. It's important that we understand that God's got to work for us. And we don't need to be on our stool to do nothing. We need to be busy about it. We've got to have a heart for souls. It ought to really bother you that we're not seeing many souls saved. It bothers me that I'm not leading near the people to the Lord that I used to. I don't get around like I used to. I'm not out in the workplace like I used to. And I don't get to visit for the church like I used to. This good work of God, it's an awesome thing. These new Christians, apostle knows they got to have this. He knows they're going to have patience, long-suffering, and all of that with joyfulness. God wants us happy. And if we can know his will and understand his will, if we can walk worthy, and we can do this in his power, there's no way we won't have joyfulness. There's no way we won't understand what abundant life is that he's came that we might have. This is a great prayer. And I believe with all my heart, I believe that we're failing to pray properly and seriously and absolutely, I mean, with all our heart, that God would do this for us. I think down deep, if we're not careful, we'll think that this is not possible for us. We don't see many walking here, do we? I'm trying, but I think I'm failing miserably. Oh, his power. It brings victory, joyfulness, understanding, peace, strength of heart and mind and soul. It brings being settled in peace. All of this does. If you absolutely know something's God's will and you're doing it, you're at peace. You understand what you're doing, why you're doing it, you're at peace. And when you're pleasing God, oh, joy fills your soul. When you know the power and you see God work and use you way beyond anything that you could ever do, great peace, great joyfulness, great excitement. This power brings steadfastness. This power brings perseverance. It's all in God. Sometimes the old devil just wants us to throw our hands up. If we have this, we don't throw our hands up. If we have this, we're looking for the latter rains. We're looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, either at death or the rapture. We want to finish well. We want him to find faith when he comes in us. It's so important that we understand these things. No quitting. No slowing down. Regardless of the threat, regardless of the onslaught of the old devil in the world system, all we want is the will of God and to please God and to understand what he wants. And he'll give us the power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Power. Power to do the work of God. In Him. In Him we do His will. In Him we walk worthy. In Him we have power. Oh my goodness. No. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. If you'll let me, I want to judge us. We all need it. We all need to change from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. It's serious business. It is so serious. Christians, the Word of God is to you here. This is to a church. Epaphras is telling the apostle about these people. Before I close, I want us to back up a little bit and understand, if we could, from verse 3. He says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. How long are we going to pray for one another always? Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it does also in you, since you heard of it, and you the grace of God in truth. It is an awesome thing when a person understands the grace of God in truth of the gospel. When we tell people, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works lest any man boast. Boy, that needs to hit like a brick. If we have the power of God, it will. When these folks heard about the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, they believed it was true. They believed that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And they heard the gospel, the truth of the gospel, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've heard that. And the gospel became true to me. And I believed. I called on him to save my soul. And he talks about this to all the world. This can happen. If you're here, you can't have these three great, wonderful attributes that I preached to you tonight unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ. This church can't give it to you. It's for believers. The will of God for a lost person is to be saved. They can't know the power of God except the power of the gospel. But oh, God wants everybody to understand His word's true. He wants me as a Christian to know it's true, to hide it in my heart. Oh, it's so important that we understand. When God speaks, that we listen. When God speaks, that we pray. When God told me I was lost, I want to be saved so bad, and I asked Him, I called on Him, I said, please save my soul. And it was urgent. And I believe tonight that as a believer, we've got to pray just that serious, that we would be filled with the knowledge of His will, wisdom, spiritual understanding, that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being faithful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You want to be happy? Get on your face before God. Ask him to do this for you. And he says you'll have joyfulness. So how about it? Is the need great enough that we could put it on the top of our list? And we could put it as one another, to pray for one another. Well, we've all come sin. We've sinned and come short of the glory of God. We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth not in us as believers. And we need to confess that, and we need to tell God we've got to have this. And we'll be able to bear fruit pleasing to him. That's the key thing, isn't it? To be pleasing to him. Bless your hearts. Thank you for listening. But I want you to do business with God tonight. I beg you with all my heart, don't just let this go in one ear and out the other. Let God change you. Let him bring you into the glory of Christ. Let him bring you into this living sacrifice. Let him bring you into knowing his will and his, to knowing his walk and knowing his power. Nothing like it. Let's all stand. Let's bow our heads, please. Thank you for listening. I beg you to take it home with you. But I beg you to do business with God tonight. Christian, we need to get serious about bringing our Lord and Savior honor and glory. To walk as he walked. Talk as he talked. To think as he thinks. Let this mind be in you even. It's in Christ Jesus. Every head bowed, if you would. Most of you already have, but is there anybody here tonight that say, Brother Martis, I'm just not saved, and I need to get saved? I want to pray for you if that be the case. I want you to get saved tonight. I want you to believe the gospel. I preached the gospel briefly to you, but we'll take the Bible and show you how you can be saved and know it. Would there be anybody like that here that I could pray for right now? I know most of us are saved. Anybody at all? Just ease your hand up. Now, how about you, Christian? Do you need to pray? Do you have this prayer need? Will you pray for yourself? Will you pray for the rest of us? If you will, I want you to ease your hand up. And we want to pray for one another right here tonight. I need to pray like this. I see that. Anybody else? I see that. Yes. I got to know the will of God. I got to walk worthy. I got to have his power. If you're not willing to pray, seek it like great treasure, you're not going to have it. Anybody else before we pray? Brother Mars, pray for me. I need this. Anybody else? I'm going to be honest with you. We all need it. Father, help us. Lord, I want to start out now praying for myself. I need this as much as anybody I know. And I know my need is great. And I ask for it. For your glory. For your honor. I pray for these that raise their hand, dear God. I hope that you've really impressed upon their heart tonight this need. This need of prayer. To pray for these things. Bless them, Lord, and help us to pray one for another. Now, Lord, not all raise their hands, but help them to. Now, Lord, bless this time of invitation. This is fixing to play. I pray we'll bring our hearts to the altar, and I pray we'll get serious, and we'll start this process of praying with all our heart. for your will and your life and your power. Please, God, help us. It's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. You come.